Wes, thank you, and Pastor Zach for the cool screens. Kind of a Spider-Man effect, but really it's for all of those who are my age who sit in the back. Now you can actually see the words. Appreciate that. And Commander Jack, I like when you get up here and cry. You've got a great heart, and you've worked with so many of the young guys. I appreciate you. And you already know that you're not allowed to do anything until our grandson gets through that. I don't know how old you'll be, but at least 55 or more, about 80. Well, hey, I'm for it. By the way, the reason we want you to invite somebody, I met someone last night at Home Depot, and he had said his first wife died of cancer, and there's just something in my heart that said, you need to tell him that you heard what he said. Maybe it's that pastor part of me. And begin to talk to him. He's lived here. He's one of the managers at Home Depot. And really nice guy. They haven't found a church. And I said, oh, you need to come check out Hope. And the reason why I want to invite somebody, why I invited Ken from Home Depot, is because he hasn't found a church. And he wouldn't have known about Hope Church if I wouldn't have invited him. And I saw Aaron Davis and their family. It was kind of an awkward moment. I was coming back from soccer, and their two older kids were looking over a bridge. And I'm like, man, that's like really strange. I didn't know if like someone was floating. I mean, you just don't know what's going on. Two teenagers. I'm like, what? And so then I see Aaron walking. I'm like, that's even more strange. So I turned around, and then Jen was eating this thing. Oh, I don't know. It was like a huge sausage thing with eggs, and I really wanted that, but she didn't offer any to me. Anyway, the long story short, they said they were just at the donut shop, and they invited somebody to Hope. And then on the way in, Aaron's one of our elders. He says, I got to tell you, we invited somebody else last night. And I'm like, wow, that's such a cool story. Here's the deal. People need the Lord still. And people will come if we invite them. I'm sure most of you came because somebody said, hey, we'd like to be part of that. And by the way, I loved the kids. I especially loved our grandkid. He's like, I'm not into this. Did you see him? He's dragging the thing. It was so good. And he dives onto Nana. I'm like, oh, that's so funny. Well, there's a word that we don't talk a lot about, but it's a big word. And I was reminded several years ago of this word sacrifice. As I was standing in front of the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., and tears were, this is like a perfect moment to emphasize what I'm saying. Tears were streaming down my face as I just stood there and realized that somebody who I've never met paid a price for my freedom. And when I think about sacrifice, it matters. And the Bible talks about the greatest sacrifice ever given. The Bible talks about this in John 3:16. It might be one of the most popular verses in the Bible, but it's also a verse that we can just read over because maybe you memorized it as a child, or maybe it's just so common, but it is a verse that God loved us so much that he gave his son, his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that we might be saved through him. And we've been talking about just a little more of a skeptic's look at the Bible, a little more of a skeptic's look at some of even the claims of Easter. I believe that Jesus was betrayed. He was put on trial and he was crucified. And because of his sacrifice, we can have a relationship with God Almighty. And there's not everyone who believes that. I think some people believe, you know, that's really not history. That's more Hollywood. And that Jesus really didn't die on the cross. There's a theory that is called the swoon theory. And some people take the position that Jesus didn't really die. In fact, this is what a lot of Muslims are taught and a lot of Muslims believe. And so not all religions can be reconciled with Christianity. A Muslim would believe this. I'm not putting anybody down today. We're all free to believe whatever we want to believe. I'm just stating a fact that comes out of Christianity and where we would differ a little bit from the Muslims. They believe this. Jesus actually fainted on the cross, or maybe he took a drug that helped him appear to be dead, and then the cool air of the tomb revived him and he emerged alive. Here's the difficulty with that. If by chance that's true, there is no Christianity. Without Jesus being raised from the dead, there's no Christianity. So it's a pretty big statement for somebody to say Jesus was swooned, didn't really die. Let's kind of park there just a moment. The scriptures say that Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. That in itself, by expert Dr. C. Truman Davis, he studied what actually happened in terms of what we read in the Bible and the condition of Jesus after he would be flogged, and that the brutal beating that Jesus took literally had him on the edge of death at that moment, being beaten at least 39 times with a whip that perhaps it had lead or bones stuck to that and being whipped. This is what one Roman eyewitness of flogging wrote. The sufferer's veins were laid bare, and the very muscles and tendons and bowels of the victim were open and exposed. And that's consistent with what we read in the scriptures, that Jesus was so hurt by this alone that we know that he couldn't even bear his own cross. And then there are the spikes that were driven through his wrist. That's a tough one to swallow. And I read that it's crushing the median nerve, and experts say it would be like squeezing your funny bone with a pair of pliers. And one person who studied this wrote, so painful was death by crucifixion that a new word was coined to describe this activity called excruciating, which is Latin for out of the cross. And then we also understand that crucifixion, it's death, it's a slow death, it's a death by suffocation, and the stress on the muscles where Jesus could breathe in, but then he would have to push up in order to breathe out so he would not become asphyxiated. And I've never had a spike driven through my feet, but I would just assume that if I were to try to push up on that, it would not feel good at all. And so there would come a time where carbon dioxide would fill their lungs and slowly they would be asphyxiated. And that's what happened when people were crucified. And so when the Roman experts in death came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. They did not have to shatter his shins so he would drop down and die. He was already dead. Then when we think about what the soldier did just to confirm that Jesus was dead, he plunged a spear between his ribs, and perhaps it punctured the sac around his heart or maybe his heart itself, but scripture reads that there was a clear fluid and blood that spilled out. And how do we know this? There were eyewitnesses there, and they wrote about this. And not needing to be mentioned, but the Roman soldiers, there were four experts, unfortunately, in death and in crucifixion, and they would have not left Jesus alive. The fact of the matter is, nobody came off the cross alive. And that would mean Jesus as well. But let's just say, in fact, that if Jesus wanted to go against everything he taught, and intentionally he wanted to deceive his followers, somehow, let's assume he survived the cross. He escaped that cocoon of the linen that was wrapped around him, and that Jesus was able to move the stone and sneak out past the Roman soldiers. Let's just assume that he was able to do that. And then you have to pause for a moment and say, okay, if he was able to do that, what would his physical condition have been when he interacted after that moment with his disciples? Would he actually be the man who would inspire in them confidence and the assurance that things were going to be okay, which actually started a revolution that literally has changed the world? Would he have been that man? Or would he have been somebody who was barely able to walk, barely able to crawl, somebody who needed a doctor? When they saw Jesus, he was in his glorified body. And it started a revolution that we are so blessed by today. And the swoon theory, the evidence clearly refutes this theory. And there are no reputable scholars that would contend in any way that this would be accurate. I like this. It's one of the best replies to the swoon theory, and it came from a woman who wrote in a question and answer forum. She says, "Dear sir, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus was swooned on the cross and that his disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? Sincerely, Bewildered." They respond back, "Dear Bewildered, flog your pastor 39 times with heavy strokes and make it hurt. Then nail him to a cross and hang him there for a minimum of 6 hours, then run a spear through his side, put him in an airless tomb for 36 more hours, and let's all see what happened." There's no way. And then there's this other theory. Jesus wasn't crucified. It was his stunt double. In other words, it's called the substitution theory, that Jesus wasn't the one on the cross. It was somebody else. Really? Not only does this contradict the early writings, but it also leaves just a couple of big questions. There were thousands of people who knew who Jesus was. Wouldn't somebody have noticed that it wasn't him? Was not Jesus' own mother at the foot of the cross? Would she have not known that that was her son? And if it was somebody else, would they not have been yelling, "You've got the wrong guy"? I mean, how many of them would say, "Oh yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, oh, I would love those spikes through my wrists. Oh sure, I like a spear through my side"? No. There's no way. And if this were true, then what happened to Jesus? Oh, he escaped to Egypt. Really? It's crazy. Then there is one other theory that we'll just look at today. This theory is that Jesus had it all wrong, Satan won, and Jesus was never supposed to die. And because he wasn't supposed to die, His death has no meaning. This is a concept that comes from the Unification Church, and it's pretty big in Japan, and it's also known as the Moonies. And Reverend Moon, he writes that the claim that Jesus' mission was not to die, rather, his mission was to get married and establish a righteous family. In the book, The Divine Principle, the Reverend Moon teaches that Jesus' death on the cross was never an essential part of God's plan to redeem sinful mankind. Reverend Moon says, we must realize that Jesus did not come to die on the cross, page 178. According to Moon, it says it was a failure. He was supposed to establish a heavenly kingdom on earth by removing the original sin. Moon believed that the death of Jesus Christ was a victory for Satan. He says this, Satan thus attained what he had intended through the 4,000-year course of history by crucifying Jesus was to the devil the exercise of his maximum power. I'm not even going to give Reverend Moon the time of day other than say that Jesus had a purpose, and it's very clear what his purpose was. In Matthew 20, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In other words, Jesus died so that you and I might find life. Jesus wasn't swooned. Jesus wasn't substituted. And Jesus, in fact, came to die. The Bible says it this way, you were dead because of your sin and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. He canceled the record that contains the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. The fact of the matter is that dying was Jesus' reason for living here on earth. He died that you and I might be forgiven. And the question that I've wrestled with this week, and maybe you can wrestle with it just a moment or two with me, is this. Is the life I'm living in any way worth the death he died? Over the years, I've heard people say, oh, I would die for the gospel. And some have. I don't know if I'm going to die for the gospel. I don't know if you are, but the question really isn't, am I willing to die for Jesus? The question is, am I willing to live for Jesus in a manner that is worthy, at least at some point, worthy of the death he died? I wrote this. That's my prayer today. That somehow, some way, I would live in a manner, though I know it would never be worthy, but somehow I would live in a manner that says, the life I'm living, I'm trying to do it in such a way that brings honor to the death and the sacrifice that Jesus made for me on the cross. Why don't we take a moment and pray together and ask for God to give us His help and His love and His strength. Father, thank you that you are so purposeful in allowing your Son to die in our place that we might live, and as John wrote, that we would live in abundance. God, I pray that this very week, Holy Week, we would be reflective of you and what you allowed your Son to do on our behalf. And God, I pray right now, if we've never accepted Jesus, if we have never accepted the gift that we have been given above all other gifts, that we would confess our sin. Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be in right relationship with God Almighty. Jesus, forgive me. Let this Easter be the best Easter ever, that I might find new life in you. And God, for those of us who claim to know you, claim to walk with you, claim to be Christ followers, are we really in our actions this past week? Are we really living in a manner worthy of the death that you died for us? Lord, I don't want anyone to feel condemned today, especially me, because I don't know that I can answer that honestly and say every day I'm living in a way that there's days I sin, there's days I just don't have it all together. But Lord, my prayer, and maybe the prayer of friends here at Hope, Hope at Home, would be this. I know I'm not sinless, God, but I pray that you would help me sin less. I know I'm not perfect. I know I have worry. I know there's a lot of things. Maybe there's a lot of things we all face, but God, would you help us to turn to you? Would you help us to trust you? Would you help us to live in a manner that acknowledges the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? Even this week, Lord, I pray that you would put in our path somebody who needs to receive hope that comes from Jesus. God, put somebody in our path that we may be able to just to give them an invite to Easter service. God, thank you, thank you, thank you that you did everything for us, and help us, Lord, help us to walk in a manner worthy of the death you died. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching Hope at Home. And we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night.